Blog Talk Radio.
From the world we see to the unseen world we sometimes see that makes us stand in awe of God's universe, this is Betsy Blake welcoming you from Cape Washington in the south to Nunavut and the Northern Lights in the Arctic Circle, from the White House gates to Lion's Gate, from Casablanca to everyone listening around God's globe. Hi, Gigi. This is Tuning In with Betsy from marvelous Manhattan and terrific Toronto. Well, tonight I thought I was going to watch the debate, the Republican debate on Fox News, except I have 222 channels and it's not included in my package. So, boo hoo hoo. I guess if I really want to see it, I have to stream it live on the internet. And that's okay with me. And also in Canada, we have the debates up here among the people running for prime minister. And the election here is October the 19th. And I meant to mention yesterday about Glenda Jackson, who's an older lady. I should say maybe she's in her early 70s or whatever. And she's quite the prophetess. If you Google Glenda Jackson, she was on Sid Roth a few months back and said that Christ, well, actually back in the 80s, she saw Reagan almost being assassinated, but he would live. And she had these visions and prophesied, and she's never been wrong yet. And that's when you can tell a true prophet of God, because they're always right. If you have some misses like the late Sylvia Brown, get off the stage. But anyway, she's an amazing prophetess, and she said that Christ came to her and said, "You will be alive when I return to earth." But he also said to her that an event might happen in 2015 in the fall that the 2016 election for president of the United States will never happen in 2016 because it's going to be so traumatic and so severe that Obama will stay in office. So that really is something to think about. In my things that make you go, department, I found this today in a Toronto newspaper, only in Canada. Atheist minister, that's an oxymoron, atheist minister fights to save her job. An ordained United Church of Canada minister who believes in neither God nor the Bible said Wednesday she is prepared to fight an unprecedented attempt to boot her from the pulpit for her beliefs. In an interview at her West Hill Church, Reverend Greta Vosper said congregants support her view that how you live is more important than what you believe in. Sounds kind of like Oprah, doesn't it? And I'm quoting her, "I don't believe in the God, small g, the God called God with a capital G," she said. "Using the word gets in the way of sharing what I want to share." Vosper, who's 57, was ordained in 1993 and joined her East End Scarborough Church in 1997. She said the idea of an interventionist supernatural being on which so much church doctrine is based belongs to an outdated worldview. Well, isn't that too darn bad? The outdated worldview. Haven't I heard that somewhere before? What's important, she says, is that her views hearken to Christianity's beginnings before the focus shifted from how one lived to doctrinal belief in God, Jesus, and the Bible. And I'm quoting her. "Is the Bible really the word of God? Was Jesus a person?" she said. We'll let Betsy Belega answer that for you, though, Reverend Vosper, you can't hear me. The Bible is the inspired word of God, and yes, Jesus Christ was a real person. So let me continue in her words. "It's mythology." Oh, is it? "We build a faith tradition upon it, which shift it to find belief more important than how we lived. Well, that kind of sounds New Agey to me, but I still believe in God the Father. So I'm a Trinitarian, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bosper made her views clear as far back as a Sunday sermon in 2001, but her congregation stood behind her until a decision to do away with the Lord's Prayer in 2008 prompted about 100 of the 150 members to leave. The rest of the parishioners backed her up. Things came to a head this year after she wrote an open letter to the church's spiritual leader, pointing out that belief in God can motivate bad things. Well, isn't that too damn bad? A reference to the Charlie Hebdo massacre in Paris. So what she's doing is referring to ISIS. That didn't go over well, Vosper said. But if we are going to continue to use language that suggests we get our mortal authority from a supernatural source, any group that says that can trump any humanistic endeavor. Well, I'm not a humanist. I'm a Christian. And that's that. So then we have the good old loony, which we spoke about briefly yesterday. The good old weaker loony hits Indigo's prophet. Now, Indigo is the big bookseller up here. It's known as Chapters in the States, but the Reisman family, Heather Reisman, she bought it back around, maybe around 1999. A weaker Canadian dollar left Indigo Books and Music Incorporated in ink. Let's see. Left a mark on the bottom line of Indigo Books and Music Incorporated in the last quarter. The company's chief financial officer, Laura Carr, says the company took a $3 million hit on its bottom line during the first quarter ended June the 27th. Carr said Indigo managed to absorb the effect of the exchange rate by funneling the costs into its book and merchandise prices and securing better agreements with its suppliers by increasing the volume of its orders. So I will leave that there, but just know our dollar again is around 76 cents, the lowest it's been in 14 years. So again, I'm warning everybody, September, something's cooking, and strange enough, I had a nice visit today from a dear friend of mine who's actually from Trinidad, but she's here in Canada for about a month, and she's going back. But she said she's had visions of tsunamis, earthquakes, and knows that something is coming this fall. So we chatted for about 2 hours and had a lovely visit. But I'll just say she's a very sensitive spiritual woman, very lovely woman. And it's not just myself and a few handful of others that are having visions that God is guiding. And we agreed, God talks to all of us. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be Billy Graham's son. And you don't have to be Jim Baker. You don't have to be Perry Stone. You don't have to be Glenda Jackson. God talks to each and every one of us. We just have to have our ears open, take out the earbuds, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off your iPhone, and just sit silently. You can talk to him, and he'll talk back, and it's not just your imagination. And then, divorced Catholics get an olive branch from the Pope. Pope Francis's call Wednesday for a church of open doors that welcomes divorced Catholics prompted speculation over whether he was signaling support for easing the ban on communion for couples who remarry without a church annulment. He wants the church to get over a psychology that if you're divorced and remarried, that you're a lesser Catholic, said Philip Thompson, the executive director of the Aquinas Center of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta. But it doesn't address the real issue of what is the path forward for Catholics who want to enter into full communion with the Church. Under Catholic teaching, unless a marriage is annulled or declared null and void by a church tribunal, those who remarry cannot receive communion or any other sacrament because they are essentially living in sin and committing adultery. Such annulments can take years to process, if they are granted at all, a problem that has left generations of Catholics feeling shunned by their church. Catholics who divorce after a church marriage but don't remarry can receive Holy Communion. The Pope, speaking at his weekly general audience at the Vatican, underscored Catholic teaching on divorced Catholics who remarry without an annulment, saying, "The Church knows well that such a situation contradicts the Christian sacrament." But he emphasized, "These people are not at all excommunicated. They always belong to the Church," Francis said. The Church, he said, must be one of open doors. But opponents see a danger to this approach and warn it will undermine Church teachings overall on marriage. So there you have the pros and the cons. And I'll just say tomorrow we have Bobby Ann Cole, who will be speaking on her life as a Messianic Jew and talking about her book that's coming out this fall. And it's about Christ and how she lived in Israel. So she will be here tomorrow with me at 5 o'clock. And I also want to tell everybody on August 29th, I'll give you a website, themessiahiscoming.com. themessiahiscoming.com. Now, what is that website? It is a free conference that you can watch online, just like I'll be watching the debates tonight online. And you can watch his on August 29th. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. A whole lot of information about Israel, the Feast of Trumpets, the Blood Moons, prophecy, everything that we love to talk about on Tuning In with Betsy. And actually, the organizer of this conference, the Christian conference, his name is Stephen Gregg. He's going to be my guest coming up later in August. So I also want to tell you that coming up, some of the topics on Tuning In with Betsy are going to be the United States and Great Britain in prophecy. And then we have topics, the Middle East in prophecy. And then another subject we're going to touch on is who controls the weather? Because we certainly know there's some crazy weather going on. In fact, yesterday it felt more like September here in Toronto than the beginning of August. So yesterday we were talking about good angels, bad angels, Hitler, UFOs. So let's talk about a few things that are found in a book called 70,000 Veils, The Miracle of Energy, by an Australian author called Claire, and that's Claire with an E, Claire Porter, P-O-R-T-E-R. You can Google her and buy her book. So she talks about Albert Speer, Hitler's architect, was very clearly interested in geomancy, ley lines, and other sacred sacred spots throughout Germany, and some of his architecture betrays definite knowledge of that basic principle of ley lines. The Vril Society, and you can Google that, Vril, it's V like Victor, R-I-L, the Vril Society, an esoteric group, promoted the idea that there might be a mystical energy within the earth that could be tapped by the German people. It's well known that Hitler employed dowsers on the battlefield to search for water and minefields, and that Nazi scientists displayed intense interest in free energy devices. The search by the Reich for the Holy Grail and the Ark of the Covenant were clearly representative of the pursuit of a path to transcended consciousness. When Hitler annexed Austria, one of his first official acts was to drive to the Habsburg treasure house in Vienna in a motorcade and claim the Spear of Destiny, known more correctly as the Spear of Longinus, the weapon which pierced the side of Jesus Christ. This solitary iron spearhead had once been in the possession of the Holy Roman Emperor Charlemagne and had been demanded by Napoleon after his victory over Austria at the Battle of Austerlitz in 1805. Before his rise to power, Hitler was a penniless and despairing artist who often used to spend afternoons inside the Habsburg treasure house, where he knew he would find warmth and shelter against the harshness of the weather. One day he was absorbed in his own thoughts about the hopelessness of his own personal plight. Now, he claims that he hardly noticed an official party moving around the exhibit under the guidance of a museum expert. The group stopped almost in front of Hitler, while their guide pointed to an ancient spearhead. Later, in Mein Kampf, Hitler described his feelings, and I'm quoting Hitler, "And then I heard the words that were to change my life, my whole life. There was a legend associated with this spear, that whoever claims it and solves its secrets holds the destiny of the world in his hands, for good or evil." Unquote. The spear appeared to be some sort of magical medium of revelation, for it brought the world of ideas into such close and living perspective that human imagination became more real than the world of sense. "I felt," Hitler continues, "as though I myself had held it in my hands before, in some earlier century of history." Unquote. So that sounds like he definitely believed in reincarnation. So, this talisman of omnipotence and goodness is said to possess the power to overcome all odds and conquer the world. On that fateful day at, let me see if Betsy can pronounce this, at the Wellich Schatzkammer, as a young Adolf Hitler dreamed a dream, World War II became inevitable. A new age and a new world order, steered by the Third Reich, was was waiting to happen. The dropout who slept in flop houses was to become the chosen one, the Fuhrer, leader of one of the most evil cults the world has ever known, and whose legacy of cloning, genetic engineering, and nuclear weaponry is very much alive and well in our world today. The most insidious form of dark energy manipulation is known as psychic attack. Much has been written on this subject. The phenomenon of Harry Potter, the boy wizard and his adventures that we talked about the other day, have not just been pure entertainment. Many parents and church leaders from Europe, the U.S., as well as throughout Australia and New Zealand, have voiced their concerns about children trying to emulate the book's hero by dabbling in bits of black magic, which, as I mentioned yesterday, this is no joke. Don't play with Ouija boards. Don't be calling up spirits. Don't mess with the Slender Man or Hat Man, because you're only drawing not angels but demonic spirits to you. So then this lady continues, Claire continues, "It's been well over half a century since British-born occultist Dion Fortune, who lived 1891 to 1946, first alerted the world to the phenomenon of being psychically attacked in her best-selling book, Psychic Self-Defense. yet her words are as relevant today as they were in 1957. And interestingly, the work continues to be regarded as the definitive guide to detection and defense against psychic attack. As a young woman, Fortune, who was born into a family of Christian Scientists, worked as a law analyst at the Medico-Psychological Clinic in London. Her interest in exploring the human psyche led to her being psychically attacked. See, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you draw into your life. That's that law of attraction. This occurred in 1911 when she was 29 years of age. Fortune worked in a school helping the principal, who for some unknown reason took a very huge dislike to her. Unknown to Dion, this woman possessed a considerable knowledge of occultism gained during a long residence in India. Although Fortune cast no aspersions on her attacker, it is more than evident from reading her account of the attack that the principal was involved in the dark arts, just like Hitler. It was her custom, Fortune wrote, to control her staff by means of her knowledge of mind power, and she had a steady succession of the most peculiar breakdowns among the people working under her. So, as I mentioned yesterday, one of the first rules is you cannot control anybody. You can't. Don't ever try to do it. When going to tell the woman that she was leaving her job, the principal subjected Fortune to vindictiveness, gazing deeply into her eyes, telling her that she lacked self-confidence and was utterly incompetent. Later on, Fortune admitted that this individual had conveyed the psychic attack through special yoga techniques and hypnotism, all of which left her a mental and physical wreck for 3 years. Gosh, that's an awfully long time to be a physical and emotional wreck. As a result of her experience, Fortune came to the conclusion that hostile psychic energy can emanate both deliberately as well as unwittingly from certain people, and that if a victim is aware of those attacks and is equipped to handle them, then they can be mentally successfully fended off. That's where a lot of prayer helps. So as I mentioned yesterday, call on the name of Jesus, call on your angels, call on God Himself to protect you, because we definitely, definitely live in a crazy, crazy, demented world. One of the prime methods used by these energy stealers is known as cording. Cords are energy bands extending from one being, a living human being, an earthbound spirit of a deceased human or a higher dimensional entity, such as a demon, to a live person. Well, that's not good. Almost everyone has cords attached to them. And while some of these links are tremendously positive, such as the beautiful silver etheric cords between a mother and a child, other cords can be potentially very damaging. So in energy work, healers often see sticky black etheric ropes attached to an unsuspecting victim with the express purpose of achieving something quite specific, usually revenge, which is never good, or power over that person. One of the biggest telltale signs is when a person feels as if something is holding them back. That something is usually a cord. Another method of attack is the use of objects. I've often seen, and I do know that this is true, rusty nails, shards of glass, and knives in the back, ropes around the neck, or even stakes of wood implanted in the spiritual bodies of some people. Once these have been cleared and cleaned, the health of the affected person improves many times dramatically. So, and I was telling my friend today that visited, we were talking about illnesses and health and healing, that there was someone a few years ago that came to me, and she said, I won't say the word, she said, I H-A-T-E my job, I H-A-T-E the people. And this lady was suffering from back pain in the middle of her back. And she said, I can't stand my coworkers. They're such backstabbers. And I said to her, now, where did you tell me your back pain was? And she said, oh, the middle of my back. And I said, well, what you must do is forgive your coworkers. All healing starts with forgiveness. And if you don't forgive, and I've told many people this, if you can't forgive, you're never going to be healed. And God forgives us, and we've done many, many things, but He forgives us. He forgives us. He said, which is, Jesus said, which is easier to say, you are healed or get up and walk. And so, remember, trust angels, trust God, but don't go near anything demonic, any occult things, no Ouija boards, no voodoo dolls. A lot of times you see in gift stores jokes of a voodoo doll. Don't go anywhere near those, because it's no joke. Because when you have the intention, even joking around, of hurting somebody, it's not going to hurt the voodoo doll. It's not going to hurt the other person. It's going to come back and boomerang on you. Now, some people have asked about astral gateways and portals to the world of men. So I'm going to quote from this book, and it's from C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And how, pray, did you come to enter my dominion? Please, Your Majesty, I came in through a wardrobe. A wardrobe, what do you mean? I opened a door and found myself in here, Your Majesty, said Edmund. Ha, said the Queen, speaking more to herself than to him. A door from the world of men. I have heard of such things. And that's from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, his classic children's saga, The Chronicles of Narnia. The major protagonists are Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy, who enter into the realm of another magical world. Narnia, through a door and a wardrobe. And for younger people, I should say, a wardrobe is a closet. It's an old-fashioned closet. And they begin a series of adventures that will change their lives forever. So many times people ask, do astral doorways really exist? And the answer is, yes, they definitely do. And like a chakra or acupuncture points, portals are vortexes of spiraling energy. The force they contain moves clockwise with gravity and anti-clockwise with anti-gravity. Dowsing reveals the existence of powerful crystals within the earth that serve to receive, transmit, and assimilate energy, sending it out along the matrix or the grid that maps the surface of the world. Ley lines bear the concentration of this force, and it is along these pathways that special nodes, as marked by holy sites and also some crop circles, and openings where portals, gates, or doorways flourish. The sole function of these interdimensional passages is to link our world to the universe and ultimately to the source of all life, who is God. But be aware, there are also gateways that lead to darker subterranean undercurrents. Many old Indian burial grounds seem to act like portals, and for reasons that remain unknown to us today, indigenous Americans consciously located their burial grounds in places that they felt aligned to the after-death realm, who had taken human form, or humans who had become possessed by them, were buried face down at specific locations of negative energy so that they could not return to trouble the living. The Amityville House of Horror was built over one such site. No amount of cleansing can ever heal these areas. These sites should remain undisturbed. So the Bermuda Triangle is also such a portal. I know that you've heard many stories from many years ago about the tragedies along the Bermuda Triangle, the ghost ships, planes disappearing, ships disappearing, never to be seen again. Another area that I live in, the Great Lakes area on the border of U.S. and Canada, has an even higher concentration of unexplained ships disappearing than anywhere else in the world. My father told me that back in the 70s because I had a book on the Bermuda Triangle. He said, "Hey, Bets, where do you think is even more mysterious?" I said, "I don't know." "Well, try the Great Lakes. Remember the Great Lakes, home. Think of home. Lake Huron, Ontario, Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, and Superior, homes." So there's also Hanging Rock at Victoria's Mount Macedon in Australia also remains a doorway to a parallel universe. Many, many psychics believe that housed within some of the Earth's ancient pyramids and holy sites, there remain a special gateway technology that enables travel between heavenly and earthly dimensions. It's food for thought, as we say. In Genesis, we see Jacob dreaming of a ladder set on the earth and reaching up to the gates of heaven, with angels ascending and descending on it. In Gateway to the Gods, author Craig Hines invites his readers to reconsider preconceived notions of biblical theology in the light of recent scientific discoveries and inquiries concerning the nature of the universe. Drawing together a variety of historical sources and backed by years of meticulous research, Craig Hines has put together a compelling and strong argument about the validity of astral portals. As humans, we remain fundamentally unable to move back and forth across the dorsals of these portals. The reason is that our physical bodies hinder us. In meditation or astral travel, however, we possess the capability, as did Jacob in the Old Testament, to pass through these realms, returning safely back home when dawn breaks. But I must tell and advise all my listeners, don't try to astral travel. Don't think you can just meditate and will yourself to go into another dimension. My teacher always said to me, "Betsy, be careful that you're connected. Your spirit, your soul is connected by a silver cord. And when you leave your body at night, that's your connection. And don't stay out too long because there might be an evil spirit that wants to possess your body and they will get in there and they won't." She always told me, never channel, never, never, never channel. And to this day, I would never channel. She said, because you leave your body, a spirit takes control of you, and they might not want to leave. And then Betsy's out in the astral plane roaming around. So on that note, I'm going to say thank you so very much for listening to Tuning In with Betsy. Be here tomorrow afternoon when Bobby Ann Cole talks about her book of her, it's called Love Triangle, but it's about Jesus the Christ. And then we have our other guests coming up. And like I said, it's going to be Stephen Craig from themessiahiscoming.com. You can have a free seminar conference on August 29th. So go there. I'm signing up. So it's free. So I want to say thank you so very much for listening to Tuning In with Betsy. God bless you. Don't forget to talk to your angels. And God is waiting to hear from you too. And be still and know, and he'll talk back to you. Thank you. God bless you.